We truly rejoice with everyone who is joining us tonight. For those both brethren and visitors, we thank you for being here. It is truly an honor to be able to serve thee by teaching the scriptures through song, through prayer, through the remembrance of the Lord in his commemoration, and of course by now studying together the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank our brother Esparza for having helped me with that song. I called him during the week, asked him if he knew it, and if not, if he could learn it in time. And our brother was a champ, and he did an excellent job, by the way. I want to thank him. But I want us to think about that hymn as we get into tonight's lesson. As we said, our focus this entire day has been and will continue to be, are we waiting for the return of the Lord? This morning, we focused on the fact that we should be more focused on returning on the return of our Lord. And we read about what are the requirements of what it is that Christ wants us to be doing while he's away. That we must always be ready. We must always be ready for his return, and we must always be ready to be found in his service. Now tonight, we continue this thought because indeed in the passages that have been selected, our Christ does the same thing. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 41. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 41. Holy writ says the following. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we once more come before thy throne of grace, Lord, through the avenue of prayer. Father, we are grateful. We are extremely grateful of thy love. We are extremely grateful for thy grace, but above all for thy Son, Lord. We know that thy only begotten Son was that gift, Father, to the world. And we know, Lord, that that is truly a gift that continues to give to mankind. But Father, as we seek to understand the lessons that he taught us, the lessons that through thy spirit's inspiration, we now have to be able to study and to apply. Allow us, Father, to learn to be able to define what makes a wise and faithful servant, what makes a wise and faithful steward, so that we, Father, may be found diligently working in thy servants, in thy service, always, Father, watching for thy Son's return. Forgive us, Father, if we have been negligent. Forgive us if we have not been doing so in accordance to thy will. And allow us, Father, to stir up that spirit to awaken ourselves so that we, Father, can begin to work, Father, for quickly the night is approaching. We thank thee, Lord, once again, and we ask this not because we are worthy, but we do so in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning when we spoke about what the Lord was teaching us in chapter 12, verse 35, I tried to give a quick description or brief description of why it was important to know about the lamps. Our brother John Mitchell was kind enough to actually bring one that is not exactly what the Lord was thinking or the one they used, but very similar to it, so we can have an idea of why the lamp is part of showing how to be prepared and how to be ready. So you can tell inside, this is where the oil would be entered in. And in this model of it, we have a wick that goes on the inside. And of course, they would have to always adjust it and pull it in order for the flame to remain on it. So this is similar to what our Lord Jesus Christ was referring to when he said that not only is our waist so should be girded so that we can have freedom of movement, but our lamp, as you can see here in this example, is something that we always had to keep full of oil, and we always had to keep the cotton wick at that time trimmed and ready so that the flame would never burn out, nor would it fall into the oil and burn the lamp. Of course, without a doubt, when we see this model that we have here, you should have in mind Matthew chapter 25, when we talk about the 10 virgins. And we see then a good visual of what it was to be wise or foolish. And exactly that's what we're going to be seeing tonight. Because it's amazing how God, through His Son, shows us what constitutes a wise, faithful steward. And of course, this makes a lot of sense as to when we read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, where we see Peter teaching us that we have to minister those gifts that God has given us according to how it's been given to us. And if you recall, before he goes into verse 11, he teaches us that we must be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Well, without a doubt and undeniably, in the mind of Peter, this lesson had to be what was inspiring him to write those words. Because in verse 41, we see that it is Peter who asks the question. And notice the question that Peter is asking. It is a very valid question, because we see that Christ was speaking to his disciples back then in verse 13 of the chapter. He was speaking to them, but a large crowd had assembled, says Luke. And they were now listening to what Jesus was teaching his 12. So if you will, Christ was teaching his 12 in a way where it was loudly heard out in the crowd. And although these were instructions that he was giving to them, he was also speaking them loud enough so that they would be to the benefit of those who would one day form part of his church. So Peter's question, brethren, is a very important one. But that's not what we're going to be studying tonight. Because Peter later on understood the answer, because he himself answers the question by giving us 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, and inviting us, encouraging us, exhorting us to be good stewards of the manifold wisdom of God, or the manifold grace of God, as the passage teaches. You see, brethren, you have to observe now the slight differences. Because now in verse 47, Jesus is speaking about a faithful and wise steward. He is not speaking about a servant. Notice the change in wording, which is very important. You see, a servant is anyone that was working under someone. It was anyone who was in a certain spot, or if you will, for the sake of an example or an illustration, it could be said that he was a laborer. But a steward was someone who was in charge, someone who had been placed responsible to take care of those servants, someone who had been given a position, if you will, of being a supervisor or perhaps even a manager. He was not someone who owned the home, nor did he have authority, but he had been given and had been entrusted by the master of the home with having and making sure that everything was going smoothly as possible. In some cases, the master trusted his steward so much that he would give his finances and he would allow that steward to run the home and to administer these things. So notice that Christ is now speaking to those that are now more than just servants. And again, he is referring to his church, because Peter is inviting every member of the Lord's church to be good stewards. Thus, we have to understand the description that Christ has given us of what makes a steward wise and faithful. Because in the end, it is Christ who is the master. It is He who is the owner of this home. And He has gone to prepare us mansions, but has left His church, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, in charge of His duties while He is gone. And it is not just the preacher's responsibility. It is not just the eldership's responsibility. Because once again, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Apostle Peter tells us that we are all to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, we all have a part to play. We all have a duty to attend to. But we also have to be, as Cain did not understand, our brother's keeper. Notice what the Bible and observe what Scripture is showing us in regards to what makes a steward wise and faithful. Observe how this begins by showing us where the steward is found. Notice in verse 42 when Christ responds to the question of Peter in the form of another question. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food and due season? Notice the responsibility that the master is giving him. He has given him the responsibility to be master, made ruler over the household. Well, in order for him to be able to rule the household, he has to be there in the household, supervising and managing things. He has to be found in his master's home, tending to the duties that has been given to him. A wise and faithful steward will be found where he was left. He will be found where he has to and supposed to be. Notice, brethren, that it would be unwise for the master of the home to arrive and not find the man he left in charge. For him to start asking, well, where is Obed? Didn't I not leave him here? How long has he been gone? When was the last time he was here? Notice that what makes a servant or a steward wise and faithful is to be found in his master's home, tending diligently to the duties that have been assigned to him. Please turn now in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 36, a beautiful and magnificent example of what a wise and faithful stewardship is like. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Notice, brethren, the details given to us by Scripture. Here is this woman who first and foremost had been assigned by God to be a prophetess. She was, in other words, a woman who was sharing God's word. Remember that the word prophet simply means a voice for God. It means someone who speaks on behalf of God. It does not necessarily refer to someone who can see into the future, as is commonly made to seem. And we see her prophesy in verse 38. We see how she follows diligently her duty and the gift that had been given to her. Because Scripture says that she spoke to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when did she speak? When she met Jesus the Christ. When he had been brought to the temple to be circumcised. But she was able and blessed to see the Redeemer because she was there when he arrived. You see that? Did you pay attention how long she had been there? Scripture says that from 7 years of her virginity, that's how long her marriage lasted. But 84 years, she spent them as a widow. Her husband had been dead for 84 years. But even the amount of time where she spent it without the man she loved, even the amount of time where she spent it without her head of household, even the loss of this great man wasn't enough to take her out of the temple of the Lord. Instead, she ran to the temple of the Lord. She found refuge in the temple of the Lord. Not away from. But not only that, she wasn't just there warming the bench, was she? She wasn't just there to ask for something in return. She wasn't just there out of convenience. No. Notice what Scripture says. It says that she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. When Christ arrived, although in the form of a child, when the master of the home arrived, how beautiful that he found her in the home, serving his father night and day. She was a prophetess, and she was fulfilling her duty by teaching everyone about the redemption of the Lord. She prayed and she fasted without ceasing. Night and day. She wasn't just there taking up space. She wasn't there just taking advantage of the free room and board. She wasn't there because she had no one to claim her rights because she was a widow. No. She was there to serve. She was there in wisdom. And because of it, her Lord found her where she needed to be. You see, brethren, when we talk about faithful and wise steward, we should think about the Psalm of David, who said that his delight was to spend it in the house of the Lord day and night. We spoke about the fact that we should be waiting for the return of the Lord. But now we're seeing where we should want the Lord to find us. Where we want the Lord to find us when He returns. Not at some bar getting drunk. Not at some party where we are taking in lewd revelries. Not somewhere where we as Christians should not be doing anything there. But we should be found where our Master has left us. We should be found in His house, day and night, praying, fasting, serving, using the gifts that He has given us for the sake of His kingdom. Not at home sleeping. Not at home waking up late. We should be here in the house of the Lord. And of course, I don't mean this building, but I'm referring to always in His service. Once again, we mentioned Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, but we also have to think about 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, what He tells His disciple, what He tells His young Timothy. The reason why He had taught him about the order and the prerequisites of an elder and a deacon. Notice that Paul tells Timothy, and I'm paraphrasing, that the reason he gave him all these things is so you ought to know, or so that you'll know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. I'm not telling you this so you can go out into the world and try to do it and establish it out there. I'm not telling you this so you can tell kings and governors how they need to rule a country. I am telling you this because this is necessary in the house of God. Therefore, you have to keep the order in the house of God. To be wise and faithful, brethren. Well, the word itself says it. It's to be found where God expects us to be. It's to be found in the manner that God wants us. Observe, brethren, what He is found doing. Go back to Luke chapter 12. It's interesting how our Lord is so direct and how He makes it so simple, but really we're the ones who many times do not want to understand. Verse 43 and 44, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." He doesn't catch him sleeping like we said this morning about the Roman soldier, or the Roman guard if you will, if the centurion arrived and found him not doing what he was supposed to do. Notice, brethren, that we should be found working daily in the kingdom of the Lord. We should be found striving to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be found striving every day to do things as He said. But notice what Christ is also implying here. He says, "Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." What is not being said here, but is being implied? Well, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Let's allow the inspired Paul to help us a little bit, because all the Bible, of course, is connected. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So what is Christ saying? What makes a steward blessed and faithful? Well, what he's doing it without grumbling. What he's doing it in sincerity. He's not doing it because he has to. He's not doing it because he's afraid. He's not doing it because he wants a pat on the back from his co-disciples. He's not seeking to please men before God. He's doing it because he knows that he has much to pay back for what he is owed. He knows in whose service he now is striving to work for. And he is grateful. He is grateful how in this very same letter, in chapter 1 teaches us, that he was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son in light. Brethren, what are we being found, or how are we going to be found in his house? Will he find us feeling as prisoners? Because we have to do it. Because we were told to, that if we did not, we were going to be punished. Or will he find us in a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving? Let's go up a few verses and observe verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Observe, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When Paul explains to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that God had given him the ministry to the Gentiles, that God had constituted him as an apostle to the Gentiles, Paul says something that is very beautiful, something that he also told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says that it was by the grace and the mercy of God that he had been appointed to this office. You need to understand why Paul calls it that. If anyone was perhaps from a human standpoint or from a human perspective not qualified to serve as an apostle, much less as a minister that is to go and save lives, it was an assassin, wasn't it? A brutal, violent assassin. A man who perhaps had been seen breathing that violence that is described in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. How can a man who can be so violent, who persecuted innocents, because he was bent on defending what he didn't even understand, find compassion for the souls? How could he understand grace and mercy for his fellow brethren? And yet Paul says, this grace was extended to me. This is why he tells the Corinthians, I was one born out of time, out of due time. Think about what he's saying there, of what Paul is saying in regards to his qualifications for this office. Paul was the first one to say, I was the least qualified. But it wasn't my choice. I didn't choose this. God's grace gave me the opportunity to use this gift so that I can make up for all of the horrible and terrible things I did when I was outside of God. He gave me a chance to pay my debts to him and his church. Paul was grateful. Paul didn't do it so that Peter and the 11 would accept him as one of their own. Paul didn't do it so that the church at Jerusalem would stop being afraid of him. Paul did not do it so that his name would be always remembered even through so many centuries that have passed. Paul never did it for mankind in a sense of trying to please and be famous. He did it for Christ to save mankind just as he was saved by Christ. But Paul always did it with gratitude. What fueled the apostle was not only his love for Christ, but his gratefulness, his thanksgiving that Christ would save, as the song we sang earlier, a wretch like me. We all should be serving in the same spirit of thanksgiving, not to please men. I love how the Apostle Paul says, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. In other words, don't just do it when one of the elders is around. Obed, don't just pretend to be studying when you hear the voice of either Zach, Albert, or Phil. Whether they are here or not, Christ is always here. And you shouldn't be doing it because Christ is looking at you. You should be doing it because you're grateful. You're grateful that He saved you. You're grateful that He's giving you an opportunity to earn your place in heaven. And you are grateful that His grace chose you, the least qualified. Chosen not because of your qualities, not because of your virtues, but because it pleased Him for you to suffer for His sake and His gospel's sake. A wise, faithful servant will work diligently because he is grateful, because he knows that he didn't have to be hired for that job. He didn't have to be chosen to be a steward, to be trusted with the household that had been handed over to him for him to rule in the absence of his master. But finally, brethren, we see that we observe that a wise, faithful stewardship can be revealed in how he's doing his duty. In verses 45 through 46, we see a contrast given by the Lord. We see that definition of what foolish stewardship is. And if you pay close attention there, a fool will take advantage of his master's trust. A fool will use his time recklessly. A fool will make himself believe that the master is delaying his trip. He will not redeem the time. And he will abuse the authority that has been given to him. He will abuse that which was been entrusted to him. He not only was beating his co-servants or those that were under him, but notice that it says that he was eating and he was getting drunk as well. Where do you think he obtained the fortune to be able to do that? Many times, brethren, we abuse the blessing that is life. We abuse the blessing that is our health. We take advantage of the benevolence of God. Because instead of redeeming our time, instead of doing what we should be doing with the life that has been given to us, instead of seeking and always diligently waiting for His return, we spend it on our flesh, on the lusts of our flesh. Or as John tells us, we spend it in the pride of flesh, the pride of the eyes, and the pride of life. Romans chapter 8 teaches us that when we spend more time focusing on our flesh, what we're going to get from that is death. Turn now to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Scripture once again teaches us in verse 10 what wise and faithful stewardship is. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Observe how in verse 10 it begins by telling us that love does no harm to our neighbor. Verses 45 and 46, we see that one of the foolishness that Christ brings up was how this steward was abusing his power. How he was beating those servants that were under him. If you mark your Bibles, and I encourage you to do so, you can go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 5, that entire chapter, and we see where Nehemiah compares himself with those governors before him. We see how he compares how he was taking care of the people versus the lords of the land. And what he does is he tells us through that book that he did not do as they did. He did not oppress the people because their debt was already heavy. I also encourage you to put on there Genesis chapter 49, the example of Joseph, a man who had been left as a steward of the house of Potiphar. And when the wife of Potiphar grabbed his dresses, trying to get him to sleep with her, observe his response to her, specifically in verse 10 and in verse 11. Observe how Joseph not only did not want to offend God, but he was not about to take advantage nor abuse his master's generosity. That is wise, faithful stewardship. He did not take for granted what his master had done for him, but rather, he protected it. He cherished it. He used it wisely. And we can use so many other examples outside of Joseph and Nehemiah. But I'll allow you to do that on your own, in your diligent study. Because this is what we're studying, right? To be a faithful, wise steward of the house of the Lord. Are we using the gifts that have been entrusted to us wisely? Or are we abusing the blessing that God has given us in the grace of His Son? Turn very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it's interesting that Paul, as he is describing to the Corinthians what the gospel is, and remember that in chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is teaching them the validity of resurrection. But notice something that Paul says, very interesting, that should be a crucial warning to us, which indeed is our final point. Notice what Paul says in chapter 15, beginning of verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Let's pause there. These are Christians. These are people who have received the Word of God. These are men and women who now understand and know what they should be doing. They have been given their assignments. But notice verse 2. By which also you are saved if, highlight that two-letter word, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless, highlight that word and put it in red and orange and all kinds of colors that represents danger. Unless what, Paul? You believed in vain. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to Christians. Men and women who had already received the gospel. That means that they had been submerged in the waters of baptism. That the hands of the apostles had been laid upon them and they had received gifts directly from the Holy Spirit during the age of miracles in the first century. But not only that, they had been stamped with the Holy Spirit's approval that they were children of God. But Paul says, be careful. You can nullify that stamp. You can erase that brand. If you do not hold fast There is a danger of believing in vain. Christ gives a crucial warning in verses 47 and 48. And because of time, I encourage you at home to read Luke 13, 23 through 28, and connect it and link it with 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Because there is a such thing as believing in vain. A wise, faithful stewardship is represented or is bright and illuminates by someone who is diligently using wisely, redeeming the time that has been given to him. He doesn't take advantage of his master. He knows what the master wants and he does it. He understands what the instructions that the master has left behind and he follows them. He does not add to them. He does not take away from them. Because when his master will return, even though he does not know, what he knows is that when his master returns, his master will be pleased in finding him where he's supposed to be, doing what he's been instructed, because he loves him and because he is grateful for everything that he's done for him. Tonight I ask, does our stewardship fit this pattern given by the Master in Luke 12, 42 through 48? Are we showing a wise and faithful stewardship to God? Are we in his house always, like Anna? Are we doing what we have to do, not because we want to be seen and lauded by our fellow brethren, but because we know it is our responsibility and we're grateful for it? Are we doing it in the manner that is supposed to be, responsibly, accordingly, in service to God, not abusing his authority, not abusing our spiritual gifts for our own convenience, not twisting his words so that we can get our way? Because the warning given by the Master there in verses 47 and 48, it applies to all of us. And it is a warning that should send a chill up our spines if we are not doing wisely, if we are not wise and faithful stewards of his kingdom. So, to be expectant of the Lord, to love his appearing, to be waiting expectantly for him to return, well, that will be reflected in how we are executing and exercising our spiritual gifts. If we remain stagnant, if we have not grown, if all we do is bench warm, or if all we do is watch the videos at my leisure and my time convenience, thinking that that's enough, then you're foolishly mistaken. That is not a wise, faithful stewardship. That is a me worship. That is idolatry in the eyes of God. Because you are no longer pleasing Christ, you're pleasing yourself. My friend, the same is true for you. Just because you haven't accepted the gospel and you're not a Christian, does not give you the right to claim or believe that you will not be held accountable. Because you see, God has already said to you, you're hired, but you have yet to sign the contract and accept the job. And the reason you don't want to accept the job is because you don't want the responsibility. You don't want the accountability. But that in itself is already proving you to be a fool. Because the reward that is tied to this job, the prize that God has promised to those who are wise and faithful stewards, is worth the sacrifice. A sacrifice that begins when you accept the gospel, when you believe, because it pierces your heart and it produces godly sorrow that leads you unto repentance, meaning you begin to change. And that repentance will lead you to salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and forward. Salvation that can only be found when you with your lips confess that Jesus is Lord, but then you with your actions show an obedient faith by being submerged into the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, from whence you will now rise into a newness of life and now have your official paperwork to start serving in His kingdom. Don't you want to accept this job that God has already offered you? Don't you want to have a claim to that eternal inheritance that has been promised? Brother or sister, perhaps you have been negligent. You've fallen asleep on the job. You've lagged behind and you haven't been doing what you should be. And tonight, God's word has shown you that you need to catch up because you have not been keeping up with your part of the bargain with God. We can pray for you. We already had one soul come up front and repent. We can have more. But it is never too late to reconcile with God. It is never too late to improve and correct ourselves before God. Because it is wise to bow before God and to seek His help so that we may be able to serve faithfully. Don't you want to come? We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.